Hi, this is Gary Life Art, and you are listening to podcast Body is a Temple in this episode.
For anybody who's feeling the nudge to take the leap, just know that the possibilities are endless and your being is being guided to something. And just keep that as your North Star. Just keep following that frequency, that path, and you'll get there.
Hi, this is Carrie Life Art, and you are listening to Body is a Temple, podcast that will motivate and inspire you to live longer and look younger. Enjoy the show. Hi guys, welcome to Body is Temple podcast. Today my guest is Stacy. We connected here in Puerto and I'm so sad that she's not here anymore, but we're still in touch, which is still good. And I'm super excited about the topic of today's conversation, which is sustainability. This is something very, very close to my heart and something that I would like to learn more and like also learn more what I can do to contribute to that. But I want to start, Stacy, with asking you of what is your vision of this perfect world, sustainable world? Because I'm hearing so much of this, you know, catastrophical visions that we are killing the planet and we're all going to die soon and we're not going to have food to eat and air to breathe. So tell me, from your experience with your work of with sustainability and the technology that you came across and you're still working with the startups, what can we actually do? And like, if we can take all this beautiful technology and resources, like how the world could look like?
Amazing question. And so many questions wrapped in there. And thank you so much for this. I'm really grateful to get the chance to connect. You know, it's easy to look around and see all the problems. They're everywhere. They're all over the news. There's momentum around what we've been doing here on planet Earth. And so it's really easy to see all of the doom and gloom of it all, for sure. And so my vision is really to tap into who we are as people and allowing that to guide us. And so I truly believe this is, people are going to believe different things. I truly believe that humans are unconditional love. That's what we are. And we're learning how to love more and more. And what sustainability is at its heart is if you think about the earth as an entity, the same way you would think about your body or another person, a relationship, your job, that we have a relationship to the earth and that we could choose to love more. And it's interesting when you come through the lens of we are human beings, we are unconditional love. How could we love this earth even more? What happens is you start to appreciate the breath that you're breathing. And just as an example, the breath that you're currently inhaling, most people don't realize this. They think of the rainforests as the lungs of the earth, but 80% of the oxygen that you're breathing right now comes from algae, little teeny tiny phytoplankton at the bottom of the ocean. And so isn't it incredible when you think about these relationships that we have to the earth that we don't even understand? How much don't we understand about this earth? And maybe this doom and this gloom is really an opportunity for us to love and appreciate and understand the earth even more today. So the vision that I have is that all humans are here to love and to cooperate. And that may not be what gets portrayed on the news, but that's what it looks like in nature. In nature, all of the food web, when you think of it, is all interacting constantly. And it's all perfection. You'll see a mama deer who has a baby deer that's maybe malformed, like a leg that's sort of, you know, gnawed, like that it didn't form correctly. So this deer is never going to be able to run. And maybe there's something else going on in this baby deer. And what's amazing is then you'll see another creature like a wolf come along and it will eat that baby deer. And as humans, we're like, oh my goodness, it's a baby deer. No. But it's actually part of the food web that there are animals that are going to feed other animals. And that's the way that it all works. So when we come from the perspective of We are all in this web. We can't see the whole thing. There's no way to understand every little detail. Our role is really just to dream and imagine a world where we're all cooperating. And what that looks like is cutting through the layers of blaming and shaming. That's the big one. So for me, a sustainable world, this heaven on earth that I see, is this place where people are appreciating the earth. They are acting because they love the earth. They are acting because they love one another, and they know that we're all in this together. And they're providing solutions that account for everybody, that doesn't minimize somebody in another country, their experience, which elevates all of us to appreciate the earth. So it's a big question you're asking. It's a really, really big question. And hopefully by the end of our time today, we'll dig even deeper into it. But I truly do see us turning a corner, because I'll just give you a little bit of why I know it's coming. For decades, there's been a handful of us that have been, you know, jumping up and down and saying, hey, planet Earth, she's trying to get our attention. You know, like planet Earth, she's trying to get our attention. She's in hurt. She's hurting. She's got a little bit, you know, if she were considered a body, she's got some disease going on, like, and she's jumping up and down and she's saying, hey, can you help me? Can you help me? And there's a group of us that have been jumping up and down saying, hey, let's help. And nowadays, what's interesting is we've turned a corner, and now the United Nations, which is, you know, the all the governments, all the corporations are now have sustainability development goals that account for all of the world. And there are trillions of dollars that are now available for nature-based solutions that are good for 100% of the people on planet Earth. And so people are incentivized. And even within the United States, the Biden administration has just created a bill that will open up trillions of dollars to more nature-based solutions. And so there's going to be a lot of money available for people who have real solutions to what's going on. And the good news is there's a lot of us that have been working on solutions for decades that have been waiting for this moment. So I see the tide as turning to our favor. And that's not to say that we won't still experience the drought and the hurricanes to maximum extent, because we have a momentum of things in a certain direction. But I don't see those things as bad. I see them as a rebalancing, kind of like when you get a disease in the body. And there's like a rebalancing that has to take shape, where you have to take some time to calm yourself and to settle down and to take some peace and take some time off. And that's really what's going to happen with the earth. And it's all going to be perfection. It's going to be a little scary, but it's all going to be perfection.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you for sharing that. And I love that you also mentioned that we are not alone with this, and we have a support of the big organizations, because I feel also this is a part of like kind of blaming and shaming and condemning that, you know, these big organizations don't care about the planet and us. Yeah, they do. We create them, and we can use them actually as our big tool to help the earth. So I'm happy to hear those news from you. Very happy. But let's now start from the beginning of your story, how you get involved in that. I know you've been having, you know, your career, you've been doing something totally different in your life, and you took one of the bravest steps when you decided to quit your job during the crisis. So maybe you can tell briefly your story about how you get involved in sustainability.
Yeah. And I would say ever since I was a little kid, I was a tree hugger. You know, my mom couldn't keep shoes on me. I was out running around with the animals all the time. So I've always been a huge lover of this planet and curious about how it all works. And I remember being in her garden as a little kid, like picking peas off the bushes and eating them. The family used to joke that nobody else could get any blackberries because I would eat them all. So it's been a lifelong obsession with the earth for sure. And I was in engineering as a race car driver and an automotive engineer. And then I was an architect, and we were building really cool things, synagogues, churches, community centers, all spaces for people to come together. And one day I just couldn't go to work. It was as if my body was just stopped in its tracks. And, you know, the topic of your podcast is so important, this body as a temple. When you're aligned with your source energy, your body just knows what to do. And I could not go to work. It was like almost like a brick wall in front of me every time I thought about going into work, even though the projects were really cool. And it was something I always wanted to do my whole life. And so I sat with it. I sat at the farmer's market for an entire day. And I knew that I was going to start a think tank for new solutions for energy, air, water, shelter, for all the things that the infrastructure that humans need. And it was going to be systems that worked for 100% of the people. And I knew that. And I also had a vision that the first project would be around food. And I was sitting there in the farmer's market, and I was thinking about, you know, what a farmer's market represents and all the ways that it operates in a community. And I knew that I had to quit my job and I had to just go for it. And I didn't know how to start a business. I had no idea where to start, what that even looked like, any legal implications. I didn't have money saved up, really. I didn't have resources in the bank. I didn't have a team. I didn't have pretty much anything. I just had the knowing that I couldn't keep doing what I was doing. And so I just really trusted that inner knowing, and I took the plunge. And I did a couple things before I quit my job. I entered a competition that was the Buckminster Fuller Challenge. For anybody who knows Buckminster Fuller, he was one of the first sustainability guys from 1920s. He basically was the guy that was talking about all this stuff way back when, and nobody knew what the heck he was talking about. And he was designing really cool systems and buildings that integrated a lot of these concepts. And I was a big fan of his. He had a competition. I submitted my idea, and it got forwarded to, it was a really good idea. So it got forwarded. I kept getting forwarded to semifinalist and then finalist. And there it's really big names in sustainability competing for $100,000 for my business. And it made me take myself seriously. It was so interesting because until that moment, it was just this thing that I couldn't stop myself from doing. But then all of a sudden I felt in a way externally validated, like, oh, you can do this and the world wants this and there's even money for it available. And so I kept going down that rabbit hole step after step. And it was, for anybody who's gone down that path, you know what it feels like to take that leap of faith, but you also know that you can't not do it. Like your body just knows it has to go there. And the more that you can align with it and just ride it, the faster it'll go, the more interesting it gets. And if you fight it and resist it, it just gets harder. So I took that leap and I'm really glad that I did. It was my first business and it grew to serve. We had dozens of farms. We were feeding thousands of families. We had dozens of restaurants we were feeding. We were, I can't even remember how many people we employed, youth employment programs for youth that were in situations where they were kind of underserved in terms of what jobs were available to them. We were in, you know, gang kind of territory. We, not only all of that, but we were providing an economic system for the whole city to start getting fed and share resources. It was really cool. And for anybody who's feeling the nudge to take the leap, just know that the possibilities are endless and your being is being guided to something. And just keep that as your North Star. Just keep following that frequency, that path, and you'll get there.
Yeah, thank you. Before I'm going to ask details about like what did you actually do with this regenerative farming, I want to come back to what you said about the body is a temple and like in tuning with the body, because the idea of my podcast is talk about holistic health, which is part of this, in tuning with the body and treating it as a temple. So what did you do to learn that? And how did you develop the skill to like really knowing and listening to the body? Because so many people may wake up and they feel like, oh, I can't go to work, but I'm going to take the pill or I'm going to go do this treatment and then I'm going to be fine, you know, but you listen to your body. So yes, how did you get to this point to knowing that your body is really sending you some important message?
Yeah, I think there's a saying, feather, feather, rock, truck. Have you heard that?
No.
So the universe, you know, like you'll get little nudges from your being and from your body that's like, hey, this way. And it's like you're on a road and you might hit a rumble strip a little bit. And it's like, just tap, like a light tap, like, hey, the road's over there. The road's over there. And it's kind of like a little feather touch. And then if you don't hear the feather touch, at some point the universe will be like, hey, we're going to throw a rock at you just to get your attention. And if you don't pay attention to the rock, a big old truck will come and just poof. So you'll hear stories about people who actually, you know, get hit by cars and all kinds of stuff, and them talking about how they weren't necessarily following their path and it jolted them into their path. So I do believe that we're receiving constant messages from source energy and from our body, from the infinite wisdom in our body. I mean, if you think about the body, the trillions of cells in the body, the all the water that's in the body has been, think about this, all the water in the body has been not only in the ocean, but it's been in the sky, it's been in clouds, it's fallen down mountainsides to get to you, it's gone through other animals to get to you, other animals have drank it and then peed it out, it's gone into the river and then that's gone, and then somehow we end up with spring water and we end up drinking it. All of this infinite wisdom of the earth, this is our life support system. So the earth, like there's our body and there's the life support system. And so I like to think of my guidance as coming from this life support system, that there's really this infinite wisdom coming through all these cells in my body and all this water that's going through me and all the air that I'm breathing every day that's been all around the world, that's been through every animal on planet Earth, that for thousands of years, this is infinite wisdom. So for me, what I like to focus on is I just like to get really still. It's not so like it's easy to say get still and listen. It's easy to say that. And then it's really easy to also just miss the messages altogether and be like, I don't know about that. So what I like to think about is thinking about it like an experiment. So each day I wake up and I listen to see what kind of messages are going to come from source energy. And when I hear one and I get a little nudge like, hey, maybe you should go do X, Y, or Z. And I pay attention to that little nudge. I go do it and I see what happens. And it's like a little game. It's like a scavenger hunt. It's like, it's not that serious. It's like, why do we take life so seriously? What if we just imagine that we were on this grand scavenger hunt of cooperation with everybody on planet Earth and everybody was here to create something really magical? And what if those nudges were the things that aligned us with the right people to bring us all the things that we dreamt of? And that's exactly what I found to be the case. So when I aligned with my vision, I just started telling people about it. And what was interesting was that everything was attracted to me because I just held the vision. I said, I don't need to do anything. I just need to hold the vision of what this looks like. And I saw, this is a concept that may be new to some people, the world, the food system, there was, in the year that I started BK Farmyards, 2012, there was enough food that was grown for 9 billion people. We have 8 billion people on the planet, but a bunch of people went hungry and a bunch of other people overate and had other issues. Now, it's not that they ate the food of the other people. It's not that. It's more that the food was misdistributed, or not distributed well, I should say. A lot of it goes to waste. So 40% of the food that gets grown for us goes into the landfill, or used to in 2012, which produces methane gas, which produces carbon dioxide, which produces all these gases for climate change. So if you think about just that one system, one of the reasons why it's so wasteful is that all these trucks are delivering food, food goes bad along the way. And so the idea for BK Farmyards was to create a decentralized system so that we were growing food right where it was needed. That was the basis of the idea. And that's why we were an urban farming network. We were farming in all the neighborhoods. And there was literally 5 feet between where it was grown, where it was sold, and then maybe 100 feet from where it was eaten. No food was really wasted. So this concept, I just held on to the idea, this vision of this concept that we would have multiple farms, we would be feeding lots of families, we would be repurposing all the waste of the city into compost, which would feed the plants, and that we would be that we would feed restaurants and that we would employ a lot of people in the process. It would be good for planet Earth. It would be good for the communities. It would be good for the people and their bodies because they're getting fresh organic food in neighborhoods where there was none, in food deserts. I held on to that vision. That's all I held on to. And wouldn't you know it, little by little, I start telling people about it. And then people come to me. I created, this was something that came from Source Energy, a little nudge that said, hey, you should make some magnets, hand out like 1,000 magnets with your name and your vision on it and your website and your number and hand them out to 1,000 people. They're going to put them on their refrigerators and people are going to see them and they're going to be like, what is that? I want to be a part of that. So I handed out 1,000 magnets and I would go to parties in Brooklyn and there would be my magnet on the refrigerator. I'd never known this person. I would show up and there'd be a magnet on the refrigerator of my magnet. I'd be like, that's me. So what happened was people were coming to me saying, hey, I'm a farmer. I have 10 years organic farming experience. I want to grow in Brooklyn. It sounds like you're already doing it. Can I join your team? I was like, cool, you're in. So now I have farmers. And then we needed land. So our tagline was, you have the land, we grow the produce. And that was on the magnet. And so people were emailing me, I got land, I got land, I got land, I got land. So it was really just me holding the vision and allowing everything to come together. So the biggest thing that anybody can do to stay in that frequency, I think, is to prove to themselves that they can do it. And then it's like, they keep coming back to it. So test yourself today. You know, maybe instead of something related to business, make it something really simple. Like, I would love more joy in my life, or a surprise. I would love a surprise, or I would love a delight, or I would love wonder or awe or something. And really feel it in your heart. Like, really just sit with it and say, oh, that feels really fun. That feels really fun. I see that. I see that. I see that. And then in your body, feel it happening. Like, if it's a surprise, kind of be like, oh, little surprise. Oh, there it is. And then when you know it, by the end of the day, you're probably going to receive some kind of surprise. And little by little, you start to know that you're the one that's attracting it to you. And these little nudges are the things that align you along the way. So it's a long-winded answer. I know it's a lot of energy, but it really is treating the body as the temple it is, that it knows more than we realize.
Yeah, thank you for that. I like that. Yeah, for me, I think it's also a big part when I feel I want to change something to kind of like put myself and like start really feeling how it is to have what I want, mm-hmm. and like really like visualizing it, meditate on that, journal about that, and like really not letting my intuition to get any other choices that are leading me towards that vision. But everyone needs to put the work on that to make it clear on this vision. It does not come if you're not really sitting to do the work to know what you want and how it feels to, you know, make your business or make your private life better or wherever you want. So I want to come back also to like the beginning of this story. I know you've been literally standing or sitting on this farmer's market and start talking with people, and you had no experience, no knowledge about growing food, no connections even. So could you like bring this story, how it actually begins, this day one?
Oh yeah, day one. Well, my goodness. So after I sat at the farmer's market and I had called in sick at work, and I want to fast forward a little bit because I talked a little bit about, I created, maybe not fast forward. One of the first things I did is for myself, I created almost like a vision board. So I'm an architect, and what architects do is they literally draw the future, you know? So as an architect, what we would do is we would sit down and we would draw the building as we see it. And we would show it to clients and say, well, it could look like this, or it could look like this, or it could look like this. And so I was very accustomed to drawing the future. And so what I did is I literally drew this new system, almost like a diagram of how this new system worked. And I drew it out in a very illustrative, but very abstract way. And it was all intuitive. It wasn't necessarily something that was analytic or driven by data. It was just I had all these like boxes that represented all the resources, and I had arrows that were connecting them, and I had color, different colors for the different boxes that represented different things. And then I would tell, and then I would show a picture of a backyard or a large piece of property in Brooklyn that was just covered in farmland and all these people. And I drew that out. And what's interesting is that people thought it actually existed already because it was drawn out. And so people were like, cool, okay, let's go, let's do this. And what happened as a result of me drawing it out and then these magnets that I talked about, there was a moment where I had to sit down and say, okay, how does this work? You know, how do we go from this idea to a thing? And so I sat down, I said, step one, I said, you have the land. Okay, they have the land. Step two, they're going to call me for an appointment. So then I basically had a list where they would sign up for an appointment. So I had a Google form where everybody could say what resources they had. And the people who said they had land, they would write down their number and they would call me, and I would actually look on a map to see if their backyard was going to be worthwhile to go look at or not, if there was enough sunlight to grow food there. And if there was, then the process was basically, I'm going to go, I'm going to have a talk with them about their yard. I'm going to tell them what's possible. I'm going to give them the breakdown of pricing and how it works. And then I'm going to ask them, yes or no, are you in? And it was so funny because I'm a visionary by nature. I can see in really big swaths. But when it comes to operations like that, like steps, like 1, 2, 3, 4, it's not my strength. And what was amazing was that whole process of how I broke it down came from meeting a guy in a coffee shop. And I had told him the vision. He was like, that's incredible. He actually gave me the tagline for my business. And then he said, so how does it work? And I said, I don't know. And you know, he's like, how does it actually get built? And I was like, I don't know that part. And he's like, well, I guess you would have to. And he talked it through in his head, what made sense. I was like, yeah, that does make a lot of sense. And we talked about different models of how the money would work, how that would be structured. And I was like, oh, that does make a lot of sense. So even the business model, I didn't come up with, somebody else did. And so really for me, the one big step was to be open to receive. And so one of the things, the most important tool that I created when I started this whole thing is I realized I had all these people coming to me saying, this is incredible. How can I help? This is incredible. How can I help? And so the one tool that was the most important tool was a Google form where they could put in their name, their contact information, and how they could help the process. Did they have land? Were they a farmer? Did they have a lot of resources? Could they contact organizations that might help? What are the ways? Did they have time to help? Just as a volunteer to throw in a couple extra hours. And that Google form was something that we used for years. And we had thousands of volunteers that worked with us every year. And it was like a master planning of Google forms where we would be like, okay, we need somebody to deliver all these goods. Oh, look, we got a guy with a car over here. And we had somebody who would match all these things on the Google form of all the things that had to be taken care of and all the resources that people had. So I think the one resource that is so important is some way for people to come together. And so the Google form is a really good way. And if you think about it, in technology, they call this open source. You want things to be open source. You want as many people to come and to help. You don't want to be the bottleneck. If you're somebody who's sitting at the head of this thing and everything has to go through you, then you're the bottleneck. So the idea is to open source it. Nature is the original open source. Nature sources from everywhere. It's all open source, right? So how do you capture all of that energy? If you're a tree, how do you capture all the energy? So in the case of being human, a Google form is a good way to capture all that human potential and find out ways for people to help move the vision forward.
Yeah, thank you for sharing that. I believe like everyone who's doing some idea and vision into the action, into the place, they need to find like their own tool that works for them. But Definitely also what you said, like just talking with people and sharing what you do can also bring solutions and something that you're looking for. I also found it from my own experience, like the more I talk, the more I actually get from other people and like connect with other people that I'm looking for. I'm kind of like manifesting things like out of nowhere and I'm having my answers. So definitely I can relate to that.
One more thing, I think it's worth noting, the guy who helped me put together my business plan, I had thought I was going to go to this place called SCORE, which is a mentorship program for people with businesses, and I was going to get help with my business plan, but I didn't go there. I had the intuitive hit to go to this particular coffee shop that was nowhere near my house that day. I woke up and I was like, I want to get coffee. And I looked at the map and I was like, I'm going to get coffee there. I like the name of that place. And it was nowhere near where I lived. And so I met this guy on a total intuitive hit on the same day that I was thinking, I wonder what my business plan is. I wonder how this works. So the universe is really fun at presenting solutions if you really follow those nudges. So just to loop it back one more time, I wanted to throw that one in.
I like that. Yeah. So I want to ask you, like, how do you deal with challenges? Because I believe along this process, there were many challenges, especially that you mentioned you had no experience, no team, no business, no nothing. So what motivates you to keep going? Where did you get your energy, you know, to go through whatever was happening and wasn't like really, you know, a fun part, but challenging part? Like how do you deal with this?
Yeah, challenges are really all about that mindset, right? So challenges are going to come up regardless, right? And so the question is, do you see it as a wall or do you see it as a gift, right? Of whatever I'm doing right now isn't working. And so what do I need to open up to in order for more to come in? And so that ended up being in every case, every challenge that came up was always a matter of, okay, who else do we need to tell this vision to in order to receive more guidance, to receive more resources? Where else can we go to share this story? So often we will share our story and then we'll get into our business and we'll start moving forward. And then we're moving forward and the momentum is there and we're doing the day-to-day stuff. The real way to move through any challenge is to keep being the vision holder and to find a way every day to share your vision with three more people, whatever that looks like. So usually a challenge just means that the bubble that you're in doesn't have the resources that you need. There's another bubble somewhere else just waiting for you. And also the challenges usually mean that there's an even better way to do this that you can't even see. So I've had moments where I'm trying to think of a specific example that we bumped up to something and it was a big one. I think one of the biggest ones that we bumped up to was not a good one. One of the biggest challenges, this is a good one. This is a good one. We were in partnership with a lot of different people, which meant that there was a lot of different needs of each person. So, you know, every organization that we worked with said, we'll work with you if we can have X. And another organization would say, we can work with you if this happens. And so one of the biggest challenges we bumped up against was that we were working with a high school and these were teenagers and the principal was very careful. He wanted to make sure that everything was always seen in a really good light and that it looked like his students were leading the way in all ways. And so it was interesting to balance the work of our big organization, BK Farmyards, which had many different farms, with the needs of this one client that had a really big influence over what we were doing. And, you know, there was a moment where we had to have a tough conversation and say, look, if we don't get the right media publications and the right messages out to the right people, we're never going to be able to help you because we're never going to be able to help our bigger organization. And so, you know, we need to come together and find a common ground here. And so, you know, and of course he's an amazing dude. And so he's like, yeah, okay, let's figure this out because we need more resources overall coming here. So, you know, the biggest challenges I think that any organization faces is those moments of leadership. And the conversations that you need to have and be really clear about what the vision is and not make compromises, but have really honest conversations with people and say, this is what we're doing. And if you're a part of it, you're a part of it. And if you're not, then we need to let you go. And that's one of the hardest things that sometimes you have to do is say to be able to walk away. So I think in those challenges, if I had seen him like an adversary, like, you're holding up my ship, man. We've got all this stuff that we could do over here, and I can't do it because you're tying my hands. If I had walked into the conversation with that attitude, we never would have gotten anywhere. But instead, I went in and I said, hey, look, we're on the same team. We have the same desires. These are the same desires we have. Yet, I could make this happen better if I could do these things that we previously said were not a part of our arrangement. So, how do we do something differently, or what's the solution here? Cause we're on the same team. So usually that's the biggest challenges.
Yeah. And we came back to the beginning, like about love and cooperation. And one of my mentors always say we should like think about this in this kind of situation to answer ourselves a question. What would love do? How would love behave? Two questions. One is from the perspective of an entrepreneur. What from your experience, how would you like advice to someone who has this big vision but don't know how to start? Like what should they do? Like, should they just wake up and start journaling, or like write the, you know, the vision, or like make the vision board? Like what would you say them to like start, like from a small thing?
Yeah. So the first piece of advice is don't yet share it with anybody. So I know I said share your vision with everybody, but the first step is don't tell anybody. The first step is to really feel the vibration of that desire, like in your heart. Now, I know we as humans, we love to help. And so a lot of people, especially light workers and people who are really here for the earth, they will focus on the benefit to the earth. They'll focus on the benefit to everybody else, but they will neglect the benefit of themselves in the vibration. And so the first thing that I would recommend, because you're creating this and it is as much for you as it is for everybody else. And if it doesn't work for you, it's not going to work for the world, because you're going to just burn yourself out trying to help everybody else. And you're going to be, you know, in a lot of pain. And there's a reason why you have the desire. It's because it's supposed to come from you. So focus, I would say the first thing I would focus on is how it feels in your body when you imagine this vision, and really take some time to daydream about it every day. So, you know, maybe don't stop all the other things you're doing. Just set a timer or a calendar invite for yourself to focus on daydreaming of this vision for yourself and what it means for you. And yes, it's going to, you're going to see how it helps other people, but really feel into how it feels for you, how you're going to grow, how you're going to evolve, the unconditional love of yourself for following your desire. That's the primary one, is the gratitude of the desire, the gratitude and awe of you receiving this beautiful vision and knowing that this is a pure desire that you have to bring into the world, and you're honoring and appreciating yourself. And so sit with that and feel that honoring and appreciating. And so what I like to do is I have a little guided visualization that I do with a lot of my startups. And the guided visualization takes you kind of through this, like, imagining this forest, and you're going through and you're having a good time and you're just talking to nature beings, and there's a little hole in a tree and you open it up and there's somebody in there that you haven't seen in a while and you want to connect to. It's just a really like easy journey. You're just having fun along the way. And then you get in a boat and you kind of come around a corner, and there it is. It's done. Your whole vision is right there, and you see all that there. The people are all there, and they're all waiting for you, and they're so excited to see you, and they're celebrating you, and there's a big party going on, and you just know, you just feel the completeness of it, and you feel the celebration of it all, that it's not just you celebrating, it's all of you celebrating that this vision is here. And so I take people through this guided visualization, and I usually allow them to sit in that moment for a while of just like that, like coming around the corner and just like there it all is, you know, where you've always wanted to go, and it's just all right there. And I like to sit in that feeling of it. And if I can't sit in the feeling of the vision, like sometimes this happens, you try to feel into it, but it feels like it's over there on a bridge or behind the curve or whatever. It feels distant. It doesn't feel like you can connect to it. Then I think it's important to sit for a little while in the vibration of just satisfaction. Satisfaction that you received the vision. Satisfaction and like, thank you for this vision. I honor and appreciate this vision. Thank you for this vision. Just the satisfaction knowing that you received it and that more will come, that it's the perfect place to be. This is the perfect place, is to just know that you received it and know that more is on the way. Because we can never get it done. You never get it right. You know, it's always just coming and coming and coming. So just sitting in the satisfaction of receiving the vision, over time, if you feel like it's too far out, you'll start receiving more information about it and be able to receive more feeling about it too. And when you get to the place of appreciation and honor and reverence of the vision, like you're, when every time you think about it and you're just like, wow, then you know that, you know, you'll be receiving a lot of little clues along the way very soon. So I like to say, take some time, hone in your vision before and get the vibration right. Because the first thing that's going to happen, what do you think the first thing is going to happen when you tell somebody about your vision?
They're gonna laugh.
Well, you know, most people are not mean, so they're probably not going to laugh, but they're probably going to be like, how are you going to make that happen? And then your whole body goes, I don't know. And then you freak out, right? So it's really important to hone it so that when you tell somebody about it and they say, how are you going to make that happen? You're like, I don't know, but it's going to happen. You know, this, you just know that it's done. You just know that it's done.
Yeah, I like that. And yes, like from my experience, I journal a lot also, and like daydream, and like I'm really spending hours sometimes describing my perfect job, perfect relation. And sometimes I've been like feeling guilty that, oh my God, I'm just like spending time writing about this instead of like doing something. But then it's just like coming out of nowhere anyway. So actually, this kind of like a preparation part, it is really important. That's true. I agree on that. And the second part of this question, I want to ask from the perspective of investors, people who have, I don't know, resources, money, land, wherever, and they want to do something with these resources that they have, but they don't know where to find, you know, people who can help them, how to avoid scams, maybe even some challenges. So what, from your experience, in this networking and connecting, you can tell to them.
Yeah, so this is really fun. If they've been investing for a while, they probably know the difference between you know, a good investment and bad investment in terms of when they look at a project and they say, okay, do I believe in this project? Most investors will only invest if they believe in a process or a project. So do I believe in the vision? And then they look at the person who is going to lead the team and they say, do I believe that that person is going to be able to lead the team to that vision? Those are the two main things that they look at. And then a lot of investors used to only look at, is this a project that's going to hockey stick? Is my return, you know, is it going to 10x over time? And nowadays, investors are a little bit different and they're looking at the earth and they're saying, okay, well, there are a lot of things where I can't get the hockey stick return, but helps planet Earth, and I love planet Earth. And so for people who want to support nature-based solutions and some of these new technologies, but it's all a little bit unknown. And so, you know, they're wondering, which one do I support? Is it, part of it is it going to work? And the other part is, do I believe in the vision? Is it good for the earth? So for an investor, I really, it's almost similar. It's the idea of how do I want to love the earth? You know, and a lot of investors will, they are very connected to the ocean, or they're very connected to the rainforest, or they're very connected to an animal like a whale. And so they will invest in projects that are good for those specific solutions because they love it so much. And I think that's wise, because when you're invested at that kind of love level, your beacon of what you attract is pretty good. And there's risk in everything, right? And I think investors know that. A lot of investors, they will say, okay, I'm going to invest in 10 things and maybe one of them hits and the other ones don't. And that's what I'm doing. But in the regenerative space and in the sustainability space, all the projects, whether or not they directly, whether or not they are successful and that they take off and they scale and they impact lots of people, it doesn't matter so much, because they're always going to impact at a community level. Every sustainability project out there is helping at a community level. And little by little, piece by piece, we're patching together a series of investments that helping the whole planet Earth. And so I think a lot of investors are seeing that and they're saying, okay, I'm a piece of the puzzle. I'm not everything. I can't solve everything, but I can put my money towards a piece of the puzzle. And even if it only helps 100 people or 1,000 people, or it helps an ecosystem, I feel like I've actually done something with my money. And it's a little bit different than a not-for-profit and a donation, in that some of these businesses are really looking to solve some of the questions in a brand new way. Like, there is this concept that I talk about on my Dreaming Earth YouTube channel, which is, what if we, you know, I love your clothes. Like, your outfit is beautiful. It's stunning on your body. The color is beautiful. I happen to love that color too.
I know.
You know, we get to choose these things every day, but not all clothes are organic materials, and not all clothes are created with the best intentions in terms of what the labor looks like of making those clothes. It's not sustainable. But what if, you know, with 3D printers this is a ways out, this is decades out, but what if we were able to 3D print onto our body our expression for the day? And then at the end of the day, it just sucked off of us, and then it got repurposed, recycled, and then the next day we get to create a whole new expression. So every day you get a new expression, a new outfit, a new way to adorn your body. You get infinite expression and you get sustainability. And I think these are the things that are interesting to me, where solutions don't mean less. Like, oftentimes people think sustainability means we have to scale back, but there are some solutions where we can be exponential and unlimited and also sustainable. And so as an investor, you know, you look at that technology and you say, okay, it's not quite sustainable yet, but if I invest in it, maybe we can get it to a place where it could actually work later. And even if we only get so far, the next company that comes along is going to nail it. And I know investors want to win. They want to win the money. Of course, we all do. But I think that more and more investors are getting excited about helping us move the sustainability development goals forward.
Yeah, thank you. Beautiful vision. I like that. What is something that you're working on currently in your life, in your business, something that you're working to improve?
It's so funny that we talk about this, right? Just even feel the vibration of improve. Well, I don't feel good. But I get the question. Something I'm shifting.
Yeah.
You know, the other day I did the New Year's, I did a vision and firewalk ceremony for my clients. Here it was a bunch of startups, and we did a vision session and a firewalk here on New Year's. It was amazing. And what came through for me was intuitively to learn to fly planes and to prepare, like, to get into the kind of physical shape where I could I could do anything. So basically what came to me was I fly trapeze and I'm a beginner and I want to get to the place where I can do a double flip. And so these are things that I'm practicing is now I'm on the hunt for, okay, well, actually I'm allowing the plane to come to me, I should say. So I'm in the frequency of I'm flying planes, I'm flying planes, I'm flying planes, and hopefully something's going to come my way. And then on the trapeze, it's, I have a trapeze group here in San Diego. That's amazing. And so going to go there as much as possible and learn how to do a double flip. So it's like those things were given to me by spirit as who knows what's coming? Like, who knows why I need to fly planes or who knows why I need to do a double flip, but it sounds fun along the way, doesn't it?
I can't wait to come to San Diego and see a double flip.
Yes.
I already see it in my mind's eyes.
Yes.
All right. What does it mean for you to live holistically healthy life?
Such a good question. We talked a lot about alignment here, and that's definitely a big piece. It feels to me like holistic is sitting in the now moment and just recognizing the perfection of my body. Trillions of cells that know exactly what to do. My love and reverence of this body, like it's really being present in every moment that right now is the only moment and feeling it completely, whatever is here for me, feeling it. And no matter what comes up, I can sit in satisfaction of all of this perfection. And if a little sadness comes up, or if a little something comes up, then loving that too. And so holistic to me feels like finding new ways to unconditionally love myself and all my versions even more, which includes everybody I see in the whole earth, right, as parts of me. So unconditional, finding new ways to love and appreciate myself and all my versions of myself every moment, every now moment.
Beautiful. I like that.
Feels good. Feels good.
Do you have any daily routines or habit that you can find as kind of like important or like game changers for your success?
I have so many things to choose from. And I have to say that I have a bunch of tools, and in each day I pick different ones based on what I get inspired to do. But my favorite is this. My favorite is this. Oh, so good. I like to find a song that represents the vibration of what I'm moving towards, like whatever the vision is, and dance to it every day. And so for the last 3 months, I've been dancing to the same song, Fantasy by Earth, Wind, and Fire. And it's been so wonderful to see what comes from that vibration and how that song shows up. Because I will be somewhere where something with my vision is unfolding, and then out of the blue, that song will come up. And it's just really fun to see all the synchronicities. So one of my favorite things is that's a way to hone your vibration and hold it all day long, is to kind of play that song and dance to it and feel it all day long.
I love that. This is also what I'm literally doing, and I call it the soundtrack of your life. When you have certain things that you are going through in your life, and you have the soundtrack, this song that is just like representing your feelings and emotion, and you dance to this. Yeah, I like that. I like that a lot. This is super cool.
And just this week, it was so wild because I danced to four songs. One's business, one is metaphysical, one is romance, and one is financial. I danced to every one of them every day. And there was a day this week where I was with somebody. I was actually with a client, and I danced to my business song because I was with a client. So I got in the vibration of it. And then I went to hit the romance song, and I was like, something told me, no, don't play it right now. And wouldn't you know it, he turns on his favorite song next, and it's my song, my romance song.
Yeah, that's super cool. Thank you for
So fun.
sharing. Yeah.
So fun.
Before I'm going to ask you my last question about where people can find you, If you could advise to the listener something, a little thing that they can start doing just after listening to the podcast daily, that can change their life or their business, their health, what would it be and why?
So I would ask that people ask themselves a question, which is, this is related to sustainability and related to dreaming this earth into being. So I would say the question, how could you love the earth even more today? And see what answers you receive. It could be anything. And do that one thing that day. It could be tiny. It could be big. It could be anywhere in between. So the question is, how can I love and appreciate Earth even more today?
Let's give some little examples, like, I don't know, start recycling trashes or like not taking the straw to your coffee because it's plastic and just like drinking from the cup. Do you have any other little examples that we can kind of inspire people to?
Yeah, well, and of course I want them to listen to their guidance because it'll be interesting to see what they receive. But I really love just being really present to see what's available, like in my surroundings. When I'm walking down the beach, I'm that person who notices that there's like a bit of trash somewhere and I pick it up. Like, oh, that is going to get tied around an animal. And I love animals. I don't want animals to get tied around that, or, you know. So being aware of when an animal might be in danger, it's just kind to like move that danger away from all the animals in the sea, right? So that's another way. And, you know, when you're growing even just like a little herb, you know, a little like basil plant or a little oregano or any herb, that's always beneficial for you. You know, you get the nutrition of this herb and you also get the love of this plant back and forth you get to play with. There's so many ways, so many little ways that you every day could connect with the earth and maybe learn something new every day about the earth. Like say, oh, I have this favorite animal. I wonder what its place is on earth. Like one day I looked up, I had no idea that phytoplankton were 80% of the oxygen until one day I was looking up algae because I was so fascinated with this glow in the dark algae. And all of a sudden I start learning that, you know, phytoplankton is the thing, the reason why we breathe. And so when I wake up in the morning and I take my first breath, the first thing I say is, thank you, phytoplankton, you know, because I know it's them. So just learning one thing per day about an animal or an insect, like if you see an insect, say, I wonder what that thing's all about. I wonder what a ladybug does for the earth. I wonder what a sparrow does for the earth, you know? And I think we naturally do that a lot of times with spirit animals, right? When we look up spirit animals, we're kind of learning about their place in the network.
Yeah, I like that idea. I will try to put it in practice as well, because, you know, here in Mexico, I'm surrounded by nations. There's so many animals and birds that I don't even know their names. And I'm like, feel now a bit like, okay, but I can learn something about that. That will be cool because people can visit me. I can tell them about the turtle culture here that I see kind of like every day on the beach. But like, I have no idea what is this even turtle species name and like when they having babies and like why they are here actually and not somewhere else. Yeah. So thank you for inspiring me to do that.
Yeah. And most of the inspiration of technology and innovation and systems come from people who are obsessed with nature and they discover something. And so just by that curiosity, you might get some inspiration to do something else. But, you know, it's not, the earth is not going to change by all of us simply recycling. It's a love of the earth that will inspire systemic change, right? So it's coming and it's all coming.
I like that. Okay, so tell to the listeners where they can find more about you, your YouTube channel, what are your offerings at the moment?
Yeah, so Dreaming Earth is my YouTube channel and it talks about how we're dreaming this earth into being. And I talk about futuristic kind of technologies that will be incredibly unlimited, but also sustainable. And then my website, stacy-murphy.com. I have availability for consultants, for startups, and also for corporations who are trying to meet the sustainability development goals. And then I'm putting together some programs for people to help them with their startups. And so you'll see it all there as it unfolds. It is in the works.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you for the conversation. Thank you for your time. And do you have any final words? You want to add something from yourself?
I'm just appreciative that we get to be on this planet at this time together. I feel like we are so lucky. There are just, it's an explosion of amazing opportunities for us to play together and opportunities for us to create together. And so I'm super grateful that you reached out for this and that this temple that we live in, the earth is also another temple. And I'm super grateful that we get the ability to make that connection today and to play some more. So I appreciate you so much for this. It's really important work.
Yeah, I appreciate you also as well, because I truly believe that we can live on heaven on earth and we can create it here. And if we're going to think this way, it will happen around us.
Yes.
So thank you so much.
Yes. Beautiful.